So, if you got your Bibles tonight, you can go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Are you going to follow me, or are you going to just get a? Yes, 1 Timothy. And then we're going to go to. Let's see where the Lord takes us tonight. Or see where I take you. You don't want to go where I take you. But 1 Timothy is what we looked at last week as far as a scripture that we want to follow in terms of prayer. And first of all, let's make a few other comments here about prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Okay. 1 Timothy. Did you find 1 Timothy? First Timothy chapter 1 or chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Paul is writing to, of course, Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to a pastor. And of course, a pastor has church members or members. And so, of course, this scripture belongs to all of us. Like anything that is written here belongs to all of us. So he says, I exhort first of all, everybody say, first of all. He says that supplications. The word supplications means fervent prayer. Fervent, heartfelt prayer. Excuse me. It's not a casual prayer. You know, people say, you know, sometimes they meet you and say, pray for me, pray for me. So you really have to have, you know, somewhat connected to what you're praying about. You know, you'll see that. Over in James chapter 5, verse 16. In James 5, 16, the Holy Ghost gives us, you know, the idea here that James, he says, the heartfelt prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The heartfelt prayer, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man. You know, you can see it's just not casual prayer. Then he gives, you know, of course, people say, well, you know, I'm not righteous enough. Well, you know, Jesus made us all righteous. We're all righteous. There's not one person here that's born again is you're not qualified or you don't feel qualified, but you might feel that way emotionally, or you might even think that way emotionally, but that's not how God sees it. So when people see James saying the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, you know, the fervent prayer, the heartfelt fervent prayer of a righteous man, the one who's been made justified, made righteous in Jesus Christ by his blood, his prayer, he could have heartfelt prayer. You and I could have that. Heartfelt prayer. And then it says, brings or makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its, you know, in its, I forget what the word says, in its working. Thank you. So we can all make dynamic prayer available. But not everybody maybe can do that because they haven't been heartfelt. They're not connected to what they're praying about. They're not fervent enough, perhaps. Because you're too casual about what you're praying about. So you can see that this kind of prayer is critical. It's not something, you know, I'll just pray about it. You know, if I got time, you know, I'll just say, thank you, bless them, Lord. It's not the kind of like, bless them, Lord, you know, help them and help them out. You know, like lots of prayer that people go around, they say, you know, pray for me, pray for me. People might say, pray for me, pray for me. Hey, pray for me, you know, walking by. But if they really think that they can, you can help them, and they really think that you can pray with them, they'd stop you and say, can you have 5 minutes with me or 10 minutes? I want to ask you to pray with me. And let's get together. Let me just tell you what my need is. And I want you to pray with me based on this scripture. Because you can't pray without having a promise. So you got to have a promise about whatever you're praying for. If you're praying for your child who's on drugs, if you're praying for money, asking God for money. I mean, you don't have to pray for money. Like you don't have to say, God, give me money. You don't have to pray that prayer. God's already given us supply. All we have to do is begin to claim what we want for whatever need we have. And then, you know, I was going to talk about, I told Pastor Dave there, just handed to me, but I, you know, I wanted to talk about, in offering, I want to talk about, you know, there's a preparation for giving. And that is that time you decide how much you're going to give. At least you come to church, you should at least give at least 10%. If I give you $10, that $10 goes to God. And God will take that $10 and do more with it than you could do with $10 by yourself. Take 90% and do more with the 90% than you could do with $10. Can you do that? Well, it's supernatural. Of course, you can't do that on your own, right? So there is a preparation that the Bible says in Corinthians that we set aside certain money every week for a purpose to give. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. And then you'll run out. No, he says, good measure shall be given back to you. Right? Shake down, running over, shall angels come and give you. No, somebody is going to give you something. Somebody's going to make available to you that you can have money. That's how it works. When you give to other people, Ephesians 6:8 is a principle. The Bible says, whatsoever man give, whatsoever man sows, that's what he will receive. Ephesians 6:8 says, whatever you do for another person, God will make happen for you. Yeah. You know, Galatians says 6 that sow and it, you know, sow whatsoever man sows, that's what he'll reap. That's two good scriptures there about forgiving, right? So Jesus said, Luke 6:38, Jesus said, give and it, everybody say it, yeah. Give and it will be given to you. It is what you give, what you've given. But it will be given back in multiplied fashion. If you believe that, if you don't believe it, you'll just be giving. Hello. If you just give, you're not going to get back. Because you have to receive when you give. The moment you're giving, you have to receive by faith at the moment you're giving. Okay? So you have to, and then you have to expect it to happen. A door will open. Your boss says, I'm going to give you increase. It's going to come from somewhere. Somebody's going to say, hey, you know what? I just had this money here. I'd like to give you $5,000 right now. But I can't. No, but somehow God's going to make sure that whatever is going to come to you will come to you. Like say, for instance, in this church, we practice this from the church standpoint, not just individually as pastors and leaders in this church. We do this as a church. We take 10% or more from the church, giving. We take 10% out of our regular, every week we take, put 10% aside every week. Without even thinking about it, this is 10%. This is going out of our church. We're going to give this into our tithe fund. And so that money is going to go wherever. We're not going to go buy lights. We're not going to put television. That money is going to go somewhere. Offering, maybe a pastor will come by. We're just going to give it to him. Somewhere, or we send it to another ministry. We'll send it to Mark Davey. We'll send it to You know, whoever God would give regularly, like for myself personally, like I sow to some of the teachers that I'm connected with from my Bible school, you know, I send money to them regularly once a month out of my own bank fund, but also give out of the church bank fund to some of the ministers. Why? So that money will keep coming back. Okay, the church our size for this year, we collected $100,000 to pay for that. It didn't even, not even 1 year. $100,000 to pay for that wing over here. Like $100,000. Just we never made pies. I didn't. We didn't sell coats. Like we just said we're going to do that. Let's believe in for the money. We believe that money will come as we sow out to other people. Somebody's building a church, we sow into that. Somebody's doing this over there, we give it, and the money came. So we have $100,000 to pay for that. We're ready to go to do that over there. So we practice that as an organization. And sometimes we'll give a check maybe once in a while to maybe those guys over here or somebody that we feel that God has connected us with. You know, and so that's good. We'll give into ministries in the city. Other churches, in fact, let me tell you, Salem gave us a check, a nice good check for Spirit Alive. Was that Summit Church? They sent us a check. Faith Bible Church in Toronto sent us a check. Pentecostal Church they sent us a check. I mean, they sold to us. Every month we get a check from Pastor Glenn and them. I'm waiting for a check from Larry Salt. No, he actually gives. Larry Salt will just give. He'll write a check. He's the first one to give. Every conference, he'll just write out his check and give. So that's so there's the giving part. So when the moment it leaves your hand, then there is a time of, there's a seed and there's a time, as you mentioned, there's a seed and time. And then when there's time, you don't have the money yet, but you're believing it to come in. And so there's a watering that comes in between it. So when you've given, you got to water it. And how do you water your giving? You start praising God. Whenever you think about it, you just thank God. Thank God, I've sown money. Right? So then we have, you know, I want to do certain. So you believe God. So you don't run out. I mean, lots of times you feel like you're running out, but thank God for that. We can believe. So this is like a, you know, and then also listen to this. Mark talks about sowing seed, and he talks about you have to get the harvest out of the fields. It takes work to garden. I don't know if anybody gardened in here, but I watch other people who garden, and they told me this. I don't garden, but I, you know, just to take care of my lawn is enough. So you have to do something with the ground, and you have to clean the you know, what is that, weeds, and you got to make sure there's water, right? So you have to do certain things to get the harvest. But you can't just leave it out there and expect it all, your harvest is to jump in sacks and get in the truck and get in the barn. You have to go and do that, right? There's some work involved. So faith does that in the realm of getting back your seed. You can't just give. You have to expect. So what happens is that the devil, he'll come around and try to steal your seed that you put in the ground. And he'll speak to your mind that it's not going to come back. You just did that for nothing. He'll never come back to you. You have to dismiss that thought. That's called spiritual warfare. Because the devil talked to you about it's not going to happen. So we thank God that we can have more than enough, not just enough for ourselves, but enough to bless God and bless other people. Amen? So as far as intercession is concerned, the Bible says it's the same thing when we're sowing seed into prayer. When you start praying for other people, someone's going to pray for you. You know, just take the scriptures, okay, so we started talking about fervency in prayer. So So supplications, we read that supplications is a heartfelt prayer, a dynamic sense about your heart that you're connecting in faith with someone to pray for a certain thing. It's not something that's a casual prayer. A supplication is a heartfelt, fervent prayer. You're fervent about it. I want us to go back to that scripture over here that we put up in there. Let's go to James 5:16 one more time just to clarify something, because there's a few more other things in there that I wanted to make mention that will help us in with our discussion here. let's go to that. Oh, no. I'll stay here. I'll come back to this here. So, let's go to James 5, verse 16. Let's talk about in verse 14. It says, is there any sick among you? By the way, we are doing a healing school during the daytime, and we're going to have for 3 days, and we're going to pray on the evening. We're going to do a Sunday morning and Sunday night as well, this month, end of the month. So I just feel led of the Lord. I'm going to follow the hunch. Okay, sometimes you don't know. Like I told my wife, she said, you're going to do that? I said, well, you know, I don't feel like doing it. I literally don't feel like doing other meetings. I got enough to do. You ever feel that? I don't want to do it. You just got enough to do. I got to study. I got to make time for prayer. Because you don't just do this, jump up and start doing it. You got to spend time in the Spirit. You got to pray. You got to separate yourself. No more hockey games. I mean, you got to just get away. It is a sacrifice to pray for somebody else. It's not that easy. When we called for prayer last night in prayer room, there's only one lady in there sitting there for prayer group. One person. Out of all the people that come here, just one lady sitting in there. And I sent Pastor Kinder, he was sitting there by the time I got there. Other people had other things to do, right? So we should have at least 12, 10 people. So where were you? And so, you know, I mean, we need to have at least pitch in once in a while, right? We're too busy because we don't believe enough that it's going to do any good for you or for somebody else. It's always like, what's in it for me? Right? But if we really know what's in it for us, then we could do more. And that's why we want to have prayer seminar, prayer groups, because it will help us understand that there's a lot in it for us. And that's why I don't do it. That's why you don't do it, because we don't get enough of the Word of God into it. So, is any sick among you? He's asking a question when there shouldn't be any sick. This is a church in Jerusalem that James was pastoring. This was a Jewish, born-again, believing, Spirit-filled church. The first church was Jewish people. And they got born again. He says, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray, see the word pray, over him, anointing him with oil. Anointing is a sign of the power of God, right? This Holy Spirit, healing. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord or in Jesus' name. Is any sick among you? So if you look at that scripture at a very short glance, if you read it out of tradition, if you read it out of just a casual reading like we say when we want to pray, we say, pray for me, pray for me. If we look at that in that fashion, lots of Pentecostal people will go use this scripture and they'll go to a service and they'll ask an elder to pray for them or a pastor to pray for them, thinking that it means for them. It could, but not really. If you will look in the real original language, it's talking about people who cannot do anything for themselves. You know, when you get so sick, you cannot even utter a word. Have you ever been that full of sickness? You cannot, you don't want to praise. You don't want to pray. You just want to lay in bed. That's what he's talking about. That the elders will go and call for the elders at church, dial 911 elders. They'll come over to your house They'll splash oil on you and they pray for you in the name of the Lord. What will happen, it says, according to that? It says, you know, the power of God will come and the Lord might raise you up. There's a chance he will do it. He said he'd do it. So why isn't this happening? Because maybe, what have we been doing it wrong? I think we don't do the heartfelt prayer. We just said, let's try this and let's see. Let's just try this, slap this oil on this person, and let's lay hands. Let's see what happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's okay. Who's saying that? Okay. Doesn't like my preaching here. Okay, so anyway, it's supposed to be for people who really can't do anything for themselves. If it talks about somebody who's basically can't even talk and walk, it's talking about basically somebody very invalid. If you look at the word sick in there, the person is so sick, they cannot do anything for themselves. This is not for people. He's asking a question, is anyone sick? And he's asking, is there a chance that somebody might be sick? He's saying that you should all be well. That's the inference. You should all be well. But in case, if anybody is really that sick out there, let's go and get them. Let's get some prayer on them in the church. If you can't do anything for yourself. So it's not about the regular guy like you. When the next fancy evangelist comes for the 17th time with the same illness, you can come up for prayer. He's not talking about you. You've been to the 47th special meeting in the last 10 years, and you're going up for prayer for the same thing, asking that this by chance, somebody might have an answer. They might just have enough power to get you your answer. That's not how it works. Either this works or it doesn't work. So we have to have enough respect for the man of God. Say, you got to have enough respect for me that I'm more than Roma Fisher talking to you. So you got to see that there's Holy Spirit on me. Like the Lord told me the other day, he said, I called you to preach, to teach the word of faith. Yeah. And that's our purpose. And we better not get away from it to try and become a whatever else we're supposed to do. We could do some other things. We can sing songs and stuff, but our basic thing is to train and teach. That's what we do. We have leadership development. That's why we have leadership development. That's what we're called to do, is to train and teach people. That's why I had Bible school, so that we could train people so that they can do whatever, work in the church or outside the church, whatever they're going to do, to teach people. And to be on television so other people across the land will get the word of faith. So that's our purpose. So we need to continue to believe God for that. So call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith, here is another prayer. The prayer of faith is another kind of prayer that we pray. Shall save the sick or heal the sick, the Lord shall raise them up. If they had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Evidently, there must be some prayer of forgiveness in there. They shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he goes on to use Elijah as an example of that righteous man praying. Elijah was a man subject like passions as we are. Now he's saying Elijah was just like you and me. And he prayed the prayer of supplication. He prayed the prayer of fervency. He prayed a prayer that you and I can pray because we're qualified. He says, notice this, Elijah, the prophet, was a man subject just like you and me. We are just like him. God said, you are just like him. In fact, we are born again. This guy wasn't born again. So, and he prayed earnestly. See that word earnestly? So that goes with that, you know, prayer of supplication. That's what prayer of supplication means, is to pray earnestly. He says that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, the heaven gave rain, the earth brought forth fruit. So he's talking about the prayer here that we can intercede, or not at least intercede, supplicate for one, another person. Now look at this over here. Let's go back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks. So it's in the plural form. So we're going to pray not just one time. We're going to pray for more than one. We're going to pray more than one time. You know, so the only time you pray one time is when you pray for yourself about asking God for some item or something about your life, and you pray and you believe at that very moment the prayer of faith is that, because you believe you receive something that you don't have yet, and you say you have what you don't have yet in the natural. That's a prayer of faith, that you believe, not with your physical eye, not with your emotions, you believe according to the Bible that you receive something. So the prayer of faith operates, you know, it's one kind of prayer. The prayer of faith operates this way, that you get a promise of God, and you read the promise of God, you meditate on the promise of God, you read it to yourself, you talk to that scripture to yourself and say, oh, this belongs to me, and so forth. You meditate on it until it's imprinted in your spirit through meditation. Just like we meditate, if you worry, how many of you ever worried in your life about something? Just a few of you. The rest of you, I'm going to talk to these guys who lift their hands up. Okay, so I worry. I find that I get the temptation to worry because the thoughts come to me, this is not going to work. You're not going to get the 100,000. Oh, yeah, you got the money for this, but you won't get that over there. So, it'll tell you about that. So right now we're making plans to build something else over here, Joe. Joe, we're making plans over here. I told him that last year. But you see, okay, so you have to believe that you receive. You got to take the scripture and believe that you receive. You see, have something in your heart. And if you don't have it in your heart yet, you're not going to receive it. Because you got to believe that you receive it. Where do you receive it? It's in your heart. You receive it in your heart. What's your heart? Your heart is your spirit. And your spirit only eats the word of God, the scripture. Amen. You take that scripture and put it in your heart. And you say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. And then you feel, ooh, you feel joy in there. You feel at peace when you think about it. That's the key, is that you feel peace. Oh, you see terrible things out there, and in your mind it's horrible, and you think about it, but on the inside you just sense, oh yeah, God's word is true. Yeah. That's a prayer of faith. So you receive something when you don't have it. Okay, but you have to do that spiritually, right? Prayer of faith said, I believe I receive. You received Jesus like that. You didn't hold Jesus in your hand. You said, Jesus, I receive you. No, you receive it in your heart, right? I believe Jesus, I receive you in my heart. So that's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is believing without seeing something. If you look at the scriptures that, you know, you receive what you don't see. It's crazy. And it's crazy to our mind, right? How can you receive something you can't see? It's like Dr. Cho. Remember, you've ever read Dr. Cho. How many of you have ever read about Dr. Cho? And they said one time, at that time in Korea, there's a huge church in Korea. They pray all the time. And he was believing God for something. You know, like an item, like a bicycle in the 1930s, it was huge to have a bicycle. Only a very rich person would have a bicycle. So he believed, he said, I want to preach, I need the transportation, I got to have a bicycle. So he believed God for a bicycle. He said, I thank God I received. So he called what they call the fourth dimension, it's a spirit. And so he believed that he received it. So people want to come home to his house to see his bicycle. So we all want to come to your house to see your bicycle. And they come to his house, they said, where's your bicycle? He said, I have it here in my heart. See, the Bible says, how did we receive Jesus? The Bible says, we confess We believe, we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. We believe that we receive in our heart. Your heart is your spirit. You believe in your spirit that you receive it. And that's how it works. And then from then on, we should, and every time you think about it, instead of worrying about it, you just say, thank God. Oh, I thank God. You by faith. When you don't feel like it, when every fiber of your emotions and your mentality tells you you don't have it, you just go by faith. Say, Lord, thank you for my healing. Thank you for healing my mom. Thank you that we got that money. Thank you what the doctor said. He said, I can never be healed. But Father, you said all things are possible. Thank you that I have it. You said I can receive. And I thank God every time somebody asks you, how are you doing? You say, oh, I'm doing great. Is that thing coming? Oh, yeah, it's coming in. Praise God, I believe I receive. And yet you're still sick. Yeah, yet you're still taking the medicine. Yet you're still smoking that cigarette. You're doing it by faith. Thank God. And that's the way when you're praying for when you're praying, you got to do the same thing that you do for praying for other people when you're praying for yourself. When you supplicate, you got to do the same thing. How are you going to do that for other people when you can't do it for yourself? Amen. Come on. Amen. Like, you know, so, you know, when we pray for people, we just casually, that's why it doesn't work. Cuz we're not fervent enough to say, man, I'm going to believe God for you. If I have to slap the devil myself, I'm going to believe God for you. Amen. So we have to believe that way. So that's the way the prayer works. So there's all kinds of prayers, especially when you give yourself to God. You don't give yourself to God one time and it all works out. I gave myself to God. I have no more temptations. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? No more problems? And so, no, you have to do it almost every day if you have to. If you have to do it every week or every time you come to church, say, God, I'm really sorry for all this week. I messed up this week. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Cleanse me with your blood. And then start worshiping again. And thank God and just move on again. And the devil will try to blame things. And say, hey, look at you, you know, try to throw guilt on you, condemnation on you. That's not coming from God. Holy Ghost never does that. And God never does that. He said, come on in, boys. I realize that's why I gave you the Holy Spirit. That's why I wash you with my blood. I know you'd be this weak. You know, I know you'd fail. I remember when I got born again, God called me to the ministry and I failed miserably. And the devil got on me so badly. I thought I lost my salvation. I thought I got away from God so good. And then I said to myself, I was in my kitchen like 2 days ago. The word of the Lord came up onto me. He said, you know, he says, one word can change your life. And I said that out to myself in my kitchen. I said, one word can change your life. I was thinking about somebody else. One word can make a difference. One word can change your life. And I kept saying that about 3 times. And the Lord said this to me. One word changed your life, didn't it? And brought me, Romans 11:29. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. When God calls you, he never changes his mind. You might change your mind, he might change your mind, and he might put condemnation, but I haven't changed my mind. I never change. I'm always the same. Amen. So if you ever miss God, hey, just go ahead and receive your forgiveness again. And so these are things that affect people when they're trying to pray fervency, when they're trying to pray intercession. They say, who do you think you are interceding? And he gets on you. Look at this over there in your family. Look what's this happening over there. You can't pray. No, hey, man, I'm a righteous man. I can receive. I believe I receive in the name of Jesus. I believe I'm a righteous man. Everybody say, I'm a righteous. Because of the blood of Jesus, I am righteous. Say, my prayer, my supplication, my intercession, my prayer is powerful. So you know, you got to say that to yourself. My prayer is powerful. When I pray, the power of God comes in. And Brother Higgins said he felt so dry one service. He's preaching, everybody seems to be so dry. He was dry. He didn't know if the Holy Ghost was there. And naturally speaking, of course, you know, he didn't, you know, some services you could do anything. And I mean, everybody's, ooh, so it's all, the place is all jerking and driving away, right? And he said, the first one up here will be healed. And all of a sudden, there was somebody coming with a heart problem, really bad heart problem. Oh, Lord, why don't you send somebody with a headache? At least you can sort of fake that. But we need to understand that when you pray, the power of God is going to flow. Amen? So intercession here, intercessions, we're going to pray intercessions, not just one time, we're going to do it over again. So the only time, see, intercession is a word, as we're talking today, intercession is only mentioned three times in the New Testament. One time was when we pray for all men or people who are not saved. It makes reference, intercession is only made referring to people who are not saved or Christians who got on so far away from themselves they cannot come back on their own. They got so lost. How many people know that you get Christians who get away so far away they don't know how to find their way back? They got caught up. And I'm going to say this. Some people who walked away from church, in this church, they got away from church, they thought they could just miss church, anything. They can't come back, though. They can't come back on their own. They just can't come back and enjoy God's presence. They can't feel comfortable. If you get around them, they get uncomfortable. If you say anything, they might even get offended because you're there. Because the devil's at work in their life. And so we need to pray for these kinds of people. That's, you know, to get around, like, you know, when you're not living right and doing what you're supposed to do, it might not be like you're going around murdering people and committing adultery and selling drugs. It could be you're just not obeying God. Yeah. You're not going to church. You're not tithing. You're not giving money, not using your talent for God, not showing up on church, showing there your support. Even just those things alone can really make you feel lousy. So the devil gets in, puts condemnation on people. And we need to pray for these kinds of people that get away so far away from God. Some people get away. So I see people get away so far from God. Yesterday, I went to, I made a mistake last year about this time. I went to TB Tel, and I told the people over there at the store, I said, listen, you know, I said, this phone, I got, this is a brand new phone. I just come here like a few months ago. He said, so how long? How long? A few months ago. He said, no, you were here last year. Yes, I was there last year. But you know what happened? I came there for my daughters a couple months and I got mixed up. But I bought a new phone last year. I'm a good customer. I'm a very good customer. I got so many phones, I don't know which one to answer. But I went there, I said, I don't have. So he said, no, you were here last year. I said, okay, so I came here with this problem. I came here with a 64 gigabyte. I had a 64 gigabyte. I wanted something bigger. So I signed a paper to get a brand new phone. So they gave me a brand new phone. This young lady seemed like she didn't know what she was doing, but I trusted her. I trusted she could do. So what happened? She gave me a smaller one. I've had a smaller phone for about 1 year. I didn't know it. And I'm doing all I can. I said, what's going on? I've been all doing all kinds of stuff with my computer, downloading stuff, downsizing, taking pictures away, taking programs off, taking all kinds of buttons off and all kinds of stuff. And I'm going smaller, smaller, smaller. See, it didn't work because I didn't have the right kind of things, right? That's how prayer is. You get frustrated and it's not working. Something's not right. You say, well, I thought I did this right thing. So we need to go step by step and examine why our prayers aren't working. So it says intercession. So only three times intercession is mentioned in the New Testament. One time only, as you read here in that scripture, for all men. Okay, if you examine the scripture, you'll understand that it means all men. So it says for kings, for all those in authority. And most of those people, most of them, maybe 99% of them, were not Christians. So we have to pray. You understand this? If leaders are not Christians, you know who's going to be a boss over them? The spirit of this world. So we are the salt of the world, the light of the world. We can pray. God only has license to move on our government if we pray. Amen. That's the only way he has access to people out there is through our prayer. And we can pray so that God will move. You know, the Bible says that God will move his hand on the king. Yes. He will touch people. He will change our nation through our lives. That's why we got to pray for our leadership. Instead of condemning our leaders for not doing so, they can't help it. Those guys, some of those people can't help it. The devil is at work, and they're working only for themselves or for money. But maybe, you know, they like the idea of working for people and helping people, right? But, you know, the devil gets in there somehow. You ever gets at you? He'll get at you and try to do things in your life to get in your life. He knows what's depressed in your life. And so intercession, the second word intercession is used, is mentioned in when the Holy Spirit intercedes for us through Holy Ghost tongues, prayer. That he'll take your spirit and he'll go move through your tongue and he'll pray the perfect will of God for the situation you're by faith praying over in tongues for. Amen. You say, God, in the name of Jesus, I don't know how to pray for this. I prayed in English. I prayed in English is all I know. But I don't know what this, I can't see everything. So I'm trusting Holy Spirit for you to pray the will of God for this person or this situation right now to bring the will of God. Because Romans 8, 26, 27, 28 tells us when we pray in tongues, we pray the purpose of God, the will of God for that person's life. Amen. Or that situation. Amen. So we pray in tongues. So you say, well, how long do you do that? Until you get that release in your life that you got the answer. You keep praying in tongues. It says, God, I'm going to pray over this situation again in tongues. I don't know how it's going to work out, and I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And I know that God will work. You know, we were reading Brother Higgins' story there again. Like, you read stories so many different times. He gives you a different whatever he needs to give for that session, you know, an idea. When he died, he was 17 years old, and he went to hell. The gates of hell three times. He saw hell. He smelled hell. He felt hell. He saw hell. He said the creature grabbed him by the arm. It was going to take him to the gates of hell. And he heard a voice from heaven say something. And that place shook and he shook. And he said he felt like a vacuum pull him back up to heaven or towards the earth. And that happened three times. And the third time, he said he was, first of all, when he was going to hell, he said, God, I'm a church member. I go to church. You know, God, he says that I give and I do all these things. He says, he's asking God. He says, I was baptized in water. And he kept going down. And this creature grabbed him. He says, I'm going to fight my way. This creature is coming to grab me. He said, I'm going to fight and do my best. He said, I didn't have any power. The thing just grabbed him. A creature, a demon grabbed him, tried to pull him in. And that place shook again. He said, pull him back up. He said, while he's going back up, his spirit was there. He said, I start praying. I prayed the sinner's prayer. He received Jesus Christ. And he got born again at that moment. As he was coming up out of that thing, he said, I come up. And I came back into my body, and my words picked up what I was praying in the spirit. I was praying the sinner's prayer, asking Jesus to come in his life. And he said, just then, I heard my mom praying in the hallway. I heard my mom praying so loud in the hallway, praying in tongues, interceding in the Holy Spirit, praying for me not to go to hell, not to get saved. And he said, my mom prayed the prayer of intercession. And prayed that I wouldn't die. You see that in Jude, right? We're snatching people out of the fires of hell. That's in the Bible. Read Jude. You can snatch people, pray for them. We can intercede for people and believe God. Don't give up on people. Amen. You know, because people die and people go away because people have given up on them. People given up on them. We can't give up on people. Some dad called me from somewhere out west today send me, said, I'm praying for my kids. I'm praying for my wife is on drugs. My kids need me. My kids, you know, they're all away. I'll come back to Jesus. I'm saying, I was a Christian man. The whole, he used to come to this church. I said, thank God. I believe you. I believe what you're saying. I believe what you're saying. I said, they pray, because you're the only one. Now they have somebody that can stand for them in prayer. Amen. And believe. This guy was a member of the Hell's Angels before, and he got born again, almost died a couple of times. And he has a mutual friend of mine who's a pastor, has been praying for him for quite a while. He's not dead because somebody stood in a gap for him, prayed for him, believed for him. And every time you think about your children, you say, thank God. I want to thank you, Father. I see them with me in the front row here. Praise God. These chairs are waiting for your children right now. All your daughters, your grandkids are sitting back here. Thank God. See them there. See them there. Yeah. It's not possible. It is possible. Yes. It's only possible because you're not seeing it. You're not seeing it. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about yesterday. Deuteronomy 28:28 says that, you know, that blindness is a curse of the law. Panic attacks is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28:28. Having panic attacks is a curse of the law. Amen. Having those problems is a curse of the law, according to the Word of God. Having cancer is a curse of the law. Yeah. But Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. Yeah. We need to stand. You know the word, when the Bible says that in Romans 8:26, the Bible says, what you stand against, the Holy Spirit stands against. If you don't stand against it, he can't do it. Holy Spirit will not stand against sickness unless you stand against it. He said, no, I will not receive sickness and disease. I will not tolerate it in the name of Jesus. You got to stand against it. You got to speak against it. You got to see, you make a choice right now. I'm standing against it. Oh, it seems like you're going down. It seems that your kids will never come back. It seems you'll never go back to where you're supposed to go, but you believe God, trust God. Amen. There's people who discovered this, that we preach from, that we talk about today, where we're dying. We talk about men of God who are dying. He said, I'm going to trust God. And they lived because they believed God. You know, many, many people. So intercession, basically, by definition, is when we stand in the gap for someone. Intercession means a go-between. A go-between two people who are at odds with people. Intercession, that's why intercession is only for unbelievers, basically, most of the time. Because they're at odds against, when you're a Christian, you're not at odds. So they need supplication, not intercession. So the other intercession, the word intercession is mentioned about the Holy Spirit. What you stand against, he'll stand against. We'll see that when we do our seminar. We'll see that scripture that the Bible says the Holy Spirit, he takes our weaknesses, right? The word groanings, all that is all in there, see? Groanings is inarticulate speech. It means speech that's not obvious to your senses and that you know. So when you pray in tongues, groanings is tongues. It means tongues, right? Utter tongues. So the other scripture is found in Hebrews where Jesus ever lives to intercede for you. That's the third one. He ever lives to intercede for you. Jesus is always there listening for you to pray. And he'll stand with you. He'll make sure that what you say will come to pass in your life. He's a high priest of our confession, the Bible says, Hebrews 3:1. He said he is a high priest of our confession. Our confession, in other words, what you say, he makes happen, right? You remember that scripture in Jeremiah 1:12? He says he makes his promises good in your life. So take a promise, get a promise, and stand on it and pray. Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we know that the intercession means to bring two parties together who are at odds. And so we're here in this city of Thunder Bay to stand in the gap for those who don't know you, the city who don't know you yet, But we're believing and trusting that they will know you. You said in these last days that you'll visit people. You'll visit people who don't want anything to do with God, just like some people have had a visitation. And that you'll put into place laborers intersecting into a place. I was beginning to say yesterday, I was in front of the TBT. I went there to change my phone, which I didn't yet. I will. And I met this couple here, Mr. Rich there, and Carol standing outside. And this lady, alcoholic lady, young lady, beautiful young woman, native woman, comes up and talks to me. I knew she wanted something. She said, well, I said, what do you want? What do you want? She said, can you give me some spare change? I said, I got no spare change. And the Lord said, give him something. So I said, okay. I said, listen, I want to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you that your life is going to change. Can I pray for you? He said, yeah, okay. And she started to cry right away. So I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you. I said, here's a dollar. I'm going to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. I'm praying that your life is going to change. You're going to turn around and you're going to know it. I believe that. And then a man came by, a kind of hairy looking man, an old kind of man. He didn't look, I can tell he's young, but he looks old, like an old prospector, a white man. He came up and said, listen, I said, you need to get saved. He said to me, I got saved. I was saved. I'm a backslider. I said, you better come into the kingdom of God. He said, I'm going to pray for you right now. And he started crying. I said, give me a shot of that whiskey. He said, you don't drink. I said, yeah, I'm just kidding. So I like to play with people. See? So I prayed. I said, I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. They start crying. Where are you from? What kind of man are you? I said, I'm a man of God. I said, I'm from Faith City Church. I said, we have a television program. We're gonna pray for you. I want us to pray for those people right now. Stand in the gap for them. There's many people like that on the street. There's many people that are nice at home. They're watching TV right now, eating pizza, watching television. They don't go to church. They've been so far away from God. They think they're okay with God. God says, this year I heard a prophecy that God says, you're a Christian, but you're lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'm going to make changes in people's lives. He said, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's a strong word for the church. That's found in Revelation. He said, you got to either get hot or cold, not just lukewarm, not just like passively living like a Christian, living for themselves. We need to get passionate for God. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're going to stand for our city. We pray in the name of Jesus. We're standing. You said, when you stand praying, we said, we forgive anyone that has harmed you. So right now, Father, we ask for forgiveness. Forgive us for causing offense to anybody. Forgive us personally. For saying something, for doing something, for not doing whatever we're supposed to do, for offending people and causing hurt to other people. Forgive us, Lord. And I'm asking you to forgive anybody who has harmed us or said anything bad against Faith City Church or Spirit Alive or our ministry or Roma Fisher or any of our leadership. We ask you to forgive them right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to wash them in the blood. Send forth laborers to those people right now in the name of Jesus. That would know how to speak to them at the right time, at the right moment. You know exactly when that's going to happen. You're going to intersect people just the way you intersected with us, and there's a time. We pray that they will not die, but they will live and declare the works of the Lord. Just like Teen Challenge said, they will not die, but they will live and declare the works of the Lord. So we're praying that in the name of Jesus, there's somebody on his deathbed right now that's crying out to you right now. There's somebody right now in the drug house right now crying out to you in the name of Jesus, Father. I'm praying that you send for it. I see that right now. Send someone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Send forth the angels right now to help them live and not die. Cover them with the blood in the name of Jesus. Send someone, a word to that one who's deciding to end their life. They said, I'm going to end my life. No, Father, send a word of hope right now into that woman's life right now in the name of Jesus. For that young woman, a young woman who has children and no dad, no money, nothing for those children, send someone, a messenger with a hope, a word of hope in the name of Jesus right now. Send somebody right now. Father, we're praying for that young woman right now that we're seeing right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Somebody's got an urge in their spirit right now to pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you. You pray for that. You pray for that in the name of Jesus. Somebody will die if we don't pray for their healing in Jesus' name, and God wants them to live. So we're standing for that one right now, that they will not die of cancer, but you'll turn it around. You'll turn around and visit them in the name of Jesus. We pray for those ones that are Christians that are standing, and they're standing so long they want to give up, but praise God, send forth encouragement to them right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be God forever. Blessed be God forever. Thank you. Glory to God. 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 Oh, Shakama Sondo Sambra Kasan Dakasa Leki Sinti. Thank you, Lord. 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 Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're going to pray for a conviction of the Spirit of God in this church service, every church service. Let it be so dynamic. Let this church service, there be a conviction that this is God's house. That there'd be an awesomeness, an awareness of the presence of Jesus here, the presence of God, that people come in here, the sense of weeping, sense of cry, sense of the love of God in this house. Thank you, Jesus. As they're watching live stream, as they're watching the Spirit of Life broadcast, that they sense the love of Jesus Christ coming to them, touching them wherever they are in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Said, dear Lord Jesus, I commit to pray, to offer prayers. I commit to supplicate. I commit to intercede. I commit to give thanks for people, for their needs, for whatever else they need. Life, health, supply, encouragement, healing, salvation, deliverance, whatever they need to turn their life around. Even people in this church, people that are related to people in this church, to turn them around. We can think of a lot of our family members that could be here tonight, that should be here Sunday. So we're trusting God to bring them in. We're going to see the birth of this in the name of Jesus. We're trusting God that this will happen shortly. Let's lift that hand and thank God. Father, we praise you. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for helping us, Lord, because you are awesome. You're awesome, Lord. You deserve praise. You deserve worship and adoration and thanksgiving, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Thank you.